You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 13. Perhaps we'll look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word, Spirit of God, for your presence. Thank you for honoring our Lord and Father in the midst of it. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. In Christ's name. In John chapter 13, we are in the last hours, literally. You're going to go into the garden, the trial, the crucifixion, in the very next handful of hours. So now, as we share together in preparation for this particular section that John records for us, that the disciples, the apostles, debated 6 months earlier who should be the greatest among them. And it was, understandably, they were progressing down the corridor of time, and the going to step into a place of power and position. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and however it's going to go, they figure they're going to be up front somehow. Now, 6 months later, which is now, chapter 13, right now in the upper room, that moment, they do it again. Who's going to be the greatest among us? Now remember now that they were crossing the Jordan River, and Thomas says, listen, we're all going to go across. They understood that Jesus Christ, they were out to kill him, to catch him, to trap him, and they knew that. So once he crossed the Jordan again, they're going to get him and kill him. And Thomas said, let us go with him that we may die. So they understood that. But when he got there, and as the resuscitation of Lazarus and the Passover and the 2.5 million people or so, and all of that was a very exciting time, and he's going in and out of the temple, and there was no threat, knowingly or seemingly, of the danger. And therefore, they got caught up in it again. Who's going to be the greatest among us? Now, our Lord, that's the background to the chapter 13. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, is all about the Lord's personal, wonderful preparation. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. It's a very personal thing. There's no crowd, there's no one else except the disciples, the apostles. Very wonderful. He couldn't say all this out there. He says it to them in preparation. He's going to die and leave them, and they have a wonderful assignment, as we shared in Sunday School, the church. And they needed to understand what is involved. It wasn't a church picnic. It was a very troublesome world, and they were going to be in trouble in a troublesome world, but don't fear God's peace and joy and presence would enable them for everything they would ever need in such a troubled world. Now, so here's John chapter 13, his own. And now, slide down if I can. Verse 4, he rises up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now he rises up. Now remember, they've eaten. There's a Passover meal. They've eaten dinner. They've finished dinner. He rises up after dinner from the table. He rises up from supper, dinner. The word supper is the evening meal. And laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he put a towel around him and got down and went to one disciple after another and washed them. Then, having done that, then he comes to Peter. And coming to Peter isn't first, remember, but he's watched each thing that he's done to each of the disciples. Now, when it comes to verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Are you going to wash my feet? And in the present tense, you're going to wash my feet, the feet of me, in the light of who you are. Now, here's Peter. Remember, Peter is outgoing and etc. And Peter goes and he recognizes who he understands he's the Messiah. He doesn't understand at all, but he understands he's Messiah and God, but he doesn't understand it really. But how can God, the Messiah, ever wash my feet and wash anyone's feet? How does the infinite, invisible God, how can he care about our little human needs, even as a servant, a slave? How could he possibly do that? And with that understanding, Peter continued, dost thou wash my feet? You, in the light of who you are, in the light of you yourself are washing my feet. Are you washing my feet? Are you going to wash my feet? Because he's really emphasizing it. And then, he, verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not. What I am doing, present tense, what I am doing, you are not knowing, you don't have any knowledge, perfect, you have no knowledge in your little head, Peter, you have no knowledge at all of what I'm doing. And, verse 7, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You're going to know in the future, hereafter. And the little word hereafter probably is not going to help us so much as understanding after, the hereafter, just think of the word after. After these things. In other words, it's pointing to something. After I do the foot washing, then you will know. When I finish what I am doing now, to say it simply, when I finish what I am doing now, you're going to know. So now, verse 8. Peter, you're going to have a personal experience of knowing. You're not going to just have an intellectual first grade, second grade, third grade. You're going to have a personal experience of this knowledge. Now, verse 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. So now the first part, thou shalt never wash my feet. And we shared last time together, it's a double negative in the Greek, I will in no wise, positively in no way, I am locked on without any question whatsoever, I'm not going to change, I'm in no wise, nothing, it's never going to happen, if the world were to come. The world keeps going and I keep living. It's never going to happen in my life, never forever. That's what he said. You're never going to do this. Okay. Now, having said that, and Peter was very good at doing that, you know. saying that. Remember, he said that in Matthew 16. You don't have to turn there. The Lord said, I must go to the cross and die. And Peter said, never. Always telling him, never. God, you're God. You can't do this. Now, so in chapter 13 again, upper room, Peter, you're going to never wash my feet. And thus, Jesus, in the light of who he is, you're never going to do this. So in the light of that, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. No part. Unless I wash your feet, you have no part, portion, participation with me. You're excluded. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me whatsoever. You are excluded. No association with me whatsoever. Therefore, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You won't know anything about being saved. You won't know about it. So here, God, here you are. You're spelling it out to Peter. If I don't wash your feet, you will not. Peter said, you will not do it. And Jesus said, you'll never get in. That's pretty simple. You'll never be saved. Wow. Thus, Simon, you have no part of me, remember now. No part. And before I do that, keep in mind now that Peter, I'll read it, verse 9. Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He goes the other way. Whoop, all the way the other direction. Wash me all. Wash me all. Start with my head and go down to my toes. Wash all of me. Now, having said that, Peter, now I want to know, I want to confirm, Peter, are you your concept of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you're acting rather boldly and brazenly in telling him, no way forever. So therefore, Peter, I want to review in my little mind, I want to understand why you said that, like that. Over to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6. And you will note, please. So may I go to verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And, Peter, we, all of us, believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We are sure of it. So, Peter, you understand you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So you understand now why Peter said, you aren't going to wash my feet. He already washed some of the others, but with Peter, Peter said nothing doing. So now, keeping that in mind, and remember now, Judas also had his feet washed. Judas sat there and had his feet washed. Coming up. Now, thus, in the light of that. So, you can have no portion, no part, no participation with me whatsoever. God's wonderful, wonderful holiness, we shared together last time, in the light of the washing. Peter, did you remember? Do you remember? Are you thinking in the light of the Old Testament? Holiness, holy ground. Moses, take off your shoes, it's holy ground. Joshua, take off your shoes, it's holy ground. Everything that touched the altar was holy. God is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Know the difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy. That over and over and over again. And the washing and washing and washing and washing. Everything they did, they washed. When they had any problem, they had to go wash their hands and wash their feet. Wash them. That's what they had to do. Because they had to remind themselves about something. Now, about their humanness on planet Earth, in this body, and dealing with God, who created it all, who was holy, clean, pure, etc. Now, go with me over for a moment to Exodus chapter 40. Easy to see. Exodus chapter 40. And may I pick up in thought, Exodus 40, verse 30. Remember now, this is the dedication of the tabernacle. Verse 30, chapter 40. And he set the laver, that's where you washed. Remember, they had the altar of sacrifice. They'd get all bloody and dirty, etc., and blood. They'd have to go to the laver, from the altar to the laver, to the door of the tabernacle. You can't go in the tabernacle like that. You've got to wash. After sacrifice for sin, you've got to be clean. And you are clean because of the sacrifice for sin. Therefore, wash, demonstrate it, show it, understand it, and then you could go in and meet with the living God in the tabernacle, etc. Now, chapter 40, verse 30. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, then put water there and washed withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet therewith. And when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. The washing, remember we did all of that last time to understand the washing, all of everything. Consecration, wash, clean. Verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God had set apart the wonderful tabernacle for his meeting place to meet with the children of Israel in the center of all of those 12 tribes. Now, having said that little bit, back over to John chapter 13. Peter, do you understand the washing? And he wasn't doing very well in remembering that. So in chapter 13, and in John 13, going if I can to verse 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So Peter, you're looking for all of it to be clean. That's right. And in the light of that, and remember now, he knows who he is, he understands. Just for the sake, hold your finger here a moment, and go over to Matthew chapter 16. Remember Peter. Peter's going to say, chapter 16, and in verse 15, he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Asking them. And Simon Peter, verse 16, answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And blessed and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So, Peter, you're very, very conscious of our Lord, and thus you go from one extreme to the other. Since the Lord said, you cannot have any part of me whatsoever, Peter said, I don't want to be excluded, I want to be included. How much of you wants to be included, Peter, from head to toe? I want all of me with all of you, God, that's what I want. So now, not my feet only, but also my hands, and what you don't care about it, the little article, the hands of me and the head of me, all of it. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean, every whit, and you are clean, but not all. So here's Peter listening, the disciples are listening, and thus he tells them that the whole body needs to be washed, the whole body. Jesus said, He that is washed, that's the whole body, needeth not to save, except to wash his feet. So since you're totally washed, exceptionally, all clean, in the light of the flesh, the world, and the devil, and everyone else. You are permanently, you have been permanently bathed. There's no need to wash you in any way except your feet. That's what you have to wash. I'll read verse 10 again. You are clean, every whit, whole, complete, every, all is the word, all, every part of you in every way, the entire person, you are clean, but not your feet. You are clean, see the three words, verse 10. You are clean. You are presently clean. So Peter, what I'm doing now isn't because you aren't clean. Now Peter, we just mentioned it. Peter and them, are you conscious of God? Yes, they are. Are they conscious of who they were? Yes, they were. Jesus came unto his own, very precious. He loved them. He loved them. Chapter 13, verse 1. He loved them. He loved them. All the way, persisted, insisted, all the way to the end, he loved them. He's talking to those he loves. And he tells them they're clean. Hang on. But you haven't died on the cross yet. No, I haven't. No, I haven't. Not yet. But you're all clean. Clean. The only thing you need to understand, Peter, is you need to wash your feet. So therefore, having loved his own, he is going to go and show them and teach them to be clean, in such a way as to be able to walk with God and honor God as you go forward. Now remember, now if you were with Moses washed, Aaron washed, the priest washed. Yes, they did, and they were what? Looking to the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were looking to the cross. But Peter and the apostles, you're looking to the cross, but you're going to be there after he dies and rises again. You're still there. You have an assignment to represent the resurrected life of Christ. And therefore, Moses is clean, trusting God. He's saved. Aaron's saved. John the Baptist is saved. Peter, James, and John are saved. But, they're saved because they're believing and they're following the Lord all the way to the cross, as it were, going to the cross. So having said that, I will build my church. Peter's confession, as we were just there in chapter 16. Chapter 14, if you would. Now they're clean. And just to remind you and myself, in chapter 14, may I get a little background with it? Verse 16, I will remember the Lord in the upper room, same section, same period of time, preparing his disciples. He had just told them, they're clean. You're all clean. I got to just do your feet. And why are you clean? Why could you say they're clean? They aren't. You haven't gone to the cross yet. No, but I'm going to. Verse 16, chapter 14, 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another of the same kind, comforter. Read what for? That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And if you were there, you might look around, if you were Peter and them, and look around, and the Spirit of God is with us. The Spirit of truth is with us. And you look around a little bit, maybe, in your head and heart, looking around. God, what do you mean, with us, with us? He dwelleth with you. He abides. He is abiding and shall be in you. And therefore, what do we know? Well, easy. Hold your finger if you like. Over to Romans and chapter 8. Romans and chapter 8. And you will note, please, if I may go to verse 9. read verse 8 to get the context. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man, anyone, have not, N-O-T, the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Christ, none of his, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God, in your wonderful person. That's right. Now hang on. And if Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in us. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you went to the cross, the Spirit of God was there. That's right. When I see the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, I see God the Holy Spirit. If you see him, you have to see the Spirit of God. Peter, James, John, what are you looking at? You're looking at me, washing your feet. When you see me, you see God. Easy. John chapter 14 again. Verse 7. John chapter 14, verse 7. Remember, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. All right, that's wonderful. Thomas wanted to know how to know the way. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And you can't get to the Father except by me. Verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, well, how is that? From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And you look around. What do you mean? We've seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Where is the Father? Where is the Father? Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? If you see me, I am the Father. I'm the Spirit of God. Do you understand? Peter, you've been in the presence. The Spirit of God has been watching over you all the way to the cross. He's going to watch over you. My Father watches over you all the way to the cross. When you see me, you're with me. When you're with me, you're with the Father and with the Spirit of God. You can't be with me without them. Do you understand, Peter? And Peter has to start waking up. Wow. Wow. And they have to learn that. They won't get it till Christ dies in Acts chapter 2. But they're going to get it. They got to go through it, though. God, can you? You're one. You're an awesome person. That's right. And the Lord Jesus said, I am that awesome person. Thus, chapter 14, and as verse 9 as we read. Now, he that dwelleth in you. So now, here's the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. And if you looked at it, you don't have, well, why not? Hold your finger here just for a moment and go over with me to 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you would remember, the Corinthians needed to understand God in his wonderful person. Now, if you aren't saved and you don't know the Lord, then you won't know a thing. And thus, chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2, 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Peter, James, John, do you understand? You're in the presence. The Spirit of God is dwelling with you right now. So is the Father. So is the Son. We're here. We're just waiting to finish it off when I go to the cross in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, so foolishness. So God, here we are. Here's Peter, James, John, Peter. Peter is washed. He's trusting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, John 15, turn a page. John 15, in the relationship of the vine and the branch, may I go to verse 3. 15:3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You understand? You're already clean. I don't need to wash your feet. I don't need to wash your head. I don't need to wash your hands. You're already clean completely. But you're in this body physically, old sin nature, and you're in the world, which is hostile against me. Do you understand? Every time you walk in the mud, your feet get all covered with mud. Every time you go, you get dirty. How are you going to walk in the world? In this body, having to absorb words, thoughts, deeds, pictures, all the time, even subconsciously. And we're reacting and reacting. Sin. Do you understand? It's against holiness, against God. It's unclean, impure. You got to be clean. So now, in the light of that, if you would, John chapter 14. Well, don't even do that for time's sake. Over, if you would, please. Now, here's the point. Peter, you're already clean. I only need to wash your feet, because your feet are in the world. You came from the road out there. If it was all dry, you'd be all dusty from the thick dust. If it was raining, it would be all mud from the muddiness. And you got washed when you came in. I'm washing you now of another kind of thing that needs to be removed from your feet. You're in the world, and you absorb every foot you take in time. You absorb in your old nature word, thought, and deed of everything going on, which is against me. It's unholy. It's against me. Do you understand why I need to? You had your feet washed with the dirt. I'm washing the dirt inside of you that's picked up from just being alive. If you try to think about something, I don't have perfect thought. God does. So when you think about something and you try to understand it, do you understand it perfectly? No. No, you don't. So therefore, when you're thinking about it and you don't understand it perfectly, it needs to be fixed, doesn't it? It needs to be fixed. You haven't got it clean, clear. So your mind is going all the time with stuff that isn't clear, isn't correct, isn't right. And God, that's our mind and heart in this life. I got to wash your feet, he said. Now, over if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And let me just run by you, if I may. God, what are you doing? Our feet are in constant contact with the world system, flesh, no question. And we're in need of continuous washing, no question at all. So God, what did you do on the cross? Christ died on the cross to clean us completely. How so? Chapter 5, verse 21, 2 Corinthians. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us on behalf of us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him in Christ. So what is needed? Rightness. I need rightness. Holy, clean. Everything is right. 1 John. God, you made it. That's why you died. First John chapter 2. I'll read verse 1, little context. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate, a counselor with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He, verse 2, he, the righteous one, is the propitiation for our sins. a complete propitiation, a satisfaction. He perfectly satisfies the righteousness of God by giving you the righteousness that belongs to Jesus Christ. We don't have it. He has it. He gives it to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is clean, holy, etc. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we are made clean, made right in His wonderful person. And thus, but we're in the world still, 1 John 7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, is cleansing us from all sin. That's right. That's right. We're in the world, and you're going to get your feet dirty. You got an old nature. You've got a problem. And I'm leaving you here to be a testimony that I have risen again from the grave, and you are my witnesses. Now, so you're walking in the light. That's right. In the light of what? The Word. You are the light. God is light. God is light, and Him is no darkness at all. So God, here we are looking to You. And the blood of Jesus Christ is constantly cleansing us. You don't need to be clean. When I died on the cross, I did it. I did it completely. That's why you're saved. If I didn't do it completely, you aren't saved. You can't be saved. Peter, do you understand? I have to have washed all of you to be saved. But you're in the world still, and you're going to have a problem. And if you want to get along with me, like Moses at the burning bush, take off your shoes. Joshua and the people of Israel, as we're doing it at night. Joshua, how can we be so... And take off your shoes. Do you understand? God is in this place. Act right. Think right. Count on it. Believe it. Wow. And thus, so we walk in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's right. All sin. That's what we have. So God, but, make it easy. God, You did. Verse 8. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we can't say we don't need our feet washed. We can't say that. Just being alive, God. That's why we have to walk in the light. That's why we don't have. I was going to bring out a cake of soap. I didn't bring out one. I forgot. Anyway, in the process, little cake of soap. And you can wash your hands. And I have even soap, you know, hospital uses with the brown stuff, the liquid stuff, you know. I remember sitting with one of the people here a long time ago, and when they were hit by a car and the shoulder was all open and everything, and I'm standing in the emergency room up there and looking down, a doctor had me allowed me to come in and there, and he was I never forget it. Here's this big thing opened up, and here he is with his brush. You appreciate this. He's with his brush. He pours in this orange or red or whatever you call the stuff, medicine. And he's scrubbing away. I thought that was so neat. I never forgot it. I said, wow, yeah, he's going to fix it. You've got to clean it out first. Clean it out. God, what did You do? You got to be clean. You got to be clean. Therefore, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We only kid ourselves. I don't have baloney. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His word is not in us. So to say we don't need our feet washed, you're calling God a liar. God said you need them washed. Do you understand? You're in the world. You got an old nature. No, I don't have an old nature. Yes, you do. Now, if you say you don't, you make me a liar. Therefore, what are we going to do, God? Get our feet washed. That's right. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, there's your little word again, from all unrighteousness. He's going to provide righteousness and cleanse us, verse 9, from all unrighteousness. And all we got to do is say, God, thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, we sang about it, that cleanses us from all sin. God, and we confess our sin. No problem. I got all kinds of sin. You have all kinds of sin. And we confess it. No problem. God, that's why we get saved. That's why we enjoy being saved. We aren't walking around. I don't have a piece of back to my soap. All you can do is wash the outside. How do I wash the inside? How do you clean the inside of your life, which is where you are? You can't clean it. There is no soap, like in Isaiah and that. If you had lye to clean, there's nothing that can clean your insides. God does in his wonderful grace. Wow. So God, wow. Now, so that's what you do. We confess our sin, and you're faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to keep us clean. So God, what are you telling John, among other things? You're telling John, I've got to wash your feet. You have to keep your feet washed. If you want to walk with me, you want to enjoy me, be holy, I am holy. Don't get all messed up in the world. Keep clean. Understand the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. He, Christ in you, is the satisfaction. Christ in you perfectly satisfies Almighty God for righteousness. Over to Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2. And you will note, please. May I slide down to verse 12. In the light of the, when Christ died, you died. Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ rose again, you rose again. He took you to the cross and paid the penalty for sin. Verse 12, 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through faith of the operation, working of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And because of that, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And if I didn't do that, Peter, I couldn't say you are clean already. You are clean through the word which I have spoken. You're already clean. You do have a problem, though, with your old nature, your heart attitude, and your lifestyle. You want to make sure you're keeping in the walking in the light, in the blood of Christ, to keep you have a personal, wonderful relationship to who I am. But you got to do that. If you don't do that, we break fellowship. We have fellowship in and by the blood of Christ. We don't have fellowship because we're nice people or bad people. We don't have fellowship because they had a good day or a bad day. We have fellowship because of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. If you were to sit down and name all the lousy stuff you think and do, how long would it... not you people, of course. I could. I don't have enough lifetime. I'd never get up. I never get here. I'd never get up off my knees. Nope. God, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. And you go. Wow. Now, Colossians, having forgiven you all trespasses, slide up to verse 6, Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, how did you do that? As many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. How did you? By faith. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk. How am I going to walk? We walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we do it. We don't do it because we got all the answers and we see clearly. No, we don't. But God, your word and your work and your presence, God, here we are down the corridor of time, and we aren't trying to sit and make our life beautiful and nice. in a lousy world, in a terrible world, not good. It's getting worse. That's just because God's left out. Now, so God, here we are. Verse 7, Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So God, we're going to go and look to you with all our heart, and God, you're going to do whatever. And over to Colossians chapter 1, while you're here, Colossians 1 and verse 10, in the prayer, his God's prayer, you want to, these are the prayers to pray, that you may walk in, by faith, worthy unto the Lord and all pleasing, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what are we doing? We're growing and knowing and growing and knowing and growing and knowing. But your feet in this body, yes, they are. O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death? Wow. I know my feet. I know my old nature. I have it. Therefore, Romans 6:4, to walk in newness of life. That's right. That's what I want to do, God. That's what I need to do. And look to you. And over two places. Over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing, a wonderful thing, to understand being saved. And how to do it. So you're not sitting there, I hope I'm saved, I'm going to try to be saved, I hope God saves me, maybe. Isn't it? You don't know. Until your heart stops beating, you don't know. Or do you? Do you know? If your heart stops beating now, do you know you're in his presence? You should. That's what we just studied. We are clean. You're saved. So don't let your feelings and fears and faults and stupidity. Don't let, and stubborn, that good? Stubborn stupidity. That's where you get caught up. And you lose. You lose out on it. You miss out. Like God made it wonderfully simple, wonderfully to be enjoyed, not some burdensome thing. I have to be saved and a Christian and be holy in an unholy world, and we're trying to do. No, we don't do that. We don't even want to think of it. We can't even consider that. So therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And remember now, I'm going to slide down to verse 6 and 17. 6 and 16, I should say. Appreciate your patience. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in you, in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, don't. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Wow. Verse 7 goes with it. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, these wonderful promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Pursue it. Not in a big, difficult way. You don't have to, you just understand that what you are, who you are and what you are, and stop trying to keep who you are and what you are, trying to preserve it. Thank God it's crucified. God's finished with you. Is that all right? God's finished with you already. He made you one to save you and saves you. Then be saved. Enjoy being saved. Wow, that's what to do. Wow. Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us according to your wisdom and grace. Thank you very much for who you are and what you do. God, help our understanding. We get so locked in. We have a lot of foot thinking and not a lot of head thinking. God, we think in our old nature, we feel in our old nature, we fear in our old nature. and we try to defend and protect and promote ourselves and everything else in our old nature. And God, you condemned it already, and you crucified us so that we could have be new creatures in Christ Jesus. So God, we want to enjoy being your children. We want to enjoy being your temple. We want to enjoy you being who you are. And God, we want to be able to walk with you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. So we're busy, busy, busy understanding our old nature, recognizing our old nature, and when needed, specifically saying we got an old nature and name the problem. And our God, otherwise, we're just going to know we have it anyway, whether we understand it or not. And our God, we thank you very, very much for loving us and caring. God, help us all. Spirit of God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.